on today's program with Pastor Nate Gallagher.
The only reason we're able to know God is because someone told us about Him. Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your friend, whatever the case, the only reason we know God is because somebody told us about it. And so we need to make sure that we carry on that message. We need to not neglect the message of Jesus and pass it on to others.
Welcome to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Join us today as we continue studying verse by verse of the book of Hebrews with Pastor Nate Gallagher in a series called Crash Course.
We forget what He's done, so we lose sight of His importance. And so the author, he started this book by getting our focus on Jesus. Before we forget about Him, remember who He is and what He's done. That's why he said back in chapter 1, verse 3, he said this, speaking of Jesus, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's like, let's talk about Jesus for a second. Before you forget about Him, before you forget what Jesus has done for you, let's talk about who He is. He's the brightness of the glory of the express image of His person. He is equal to God. He says, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. He has power to speak into your life. He says, He Himself, He didn't send somebody else, Himself purged our sins. He made us able to have a right relationship with God. And then when He was finished with that, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to talk about later as we go through the book of Hebrews that while He sits at the right hand of the Father, He ever lives to make intercession for you. What does that mean? He's praying for you constantly. So before we wander, before we drift, let's pause for a moment and remember what Jesus has done. But many people drift away because they forget all that Jesus has done for them. So before you drift, before you get sidetracked, pause for a minute and think about who Jesus is and what He's done for you. And maybe you can't think of specific things He's done for you, but let's think about the things He's done for everyone. He died for you. That's for everyone. He's got a plan for you. That's for everyone. And then I'm sure if we paused long enough and thought about, okay, how has Jesus affected my life personally? Not just what He's done for humanity, but what has He done for me personally? When we stop and remember what He's done, it's going to be a lot harder for us to drift. But one of the main reasons people drift away is they forget what He's done. Second way people drift away is because they start focusing on the world. They focus on the world. They lose their focus. Have you ever been driving and you look down and then you miss your turn? Like maybe your phone buzzed and you're not supposed to check it while you're driving, but you got distracted and you look down and then you miss your turn. And you're like, dang it, now I got to turn around, make a U-turn like an idiot and go back where I... You look down for just a second, your focus was off for just a second, and you ended up missing where you were going. And often people, they get caught up in the world, and so they lose sight of eternity. Their focus is here rather than up there, and because of it, they miss where they're going. They don't end up where they're trying to get to. They're focused on relationships or earthly success or wealth or fame or whatever it might be. They're focused on that, and little by little, they drift from their relationship with God. They may not even be doing bad things. A lot of times, people will drift away from God not doing bad things. I've seen it happen all the time. They just get caught up in whatever's going on. I need to go to a good school. I need to get this job. I need to have this relationship. I need to be... All of those things are fine. Going to a good school, that's a good thing. Having money, awesome. Having, you know, a good relationship, wonderful. But they get so focused on those things that they lose sight of the main thing. And when we get our focus off, we end up in the wrong place. We aren't really paying attention, and then we arrive somewhere unexpectedly. We may be doing all the right things. You ever put the wrong address in your GPS? Like you follow it directly, like make the left turn, made the left turn, right turn, made the right turn, you show up and you're like, this is not where I was trying to go. It's because you put the wrong address in the GPS. Like, man, this is frustrating. I did everything right, but I ended up in the wrong place. And a lot of people, their focus is off and they drift away. They end up in the wrong place because they aren't focused on the right thing. And many people drift away from the relationship with God because they're too focused on the world, not focused enough on eternity. They forget what Jesus has done and they lose sight of where they're going. The third way I think people drift away is by following the flesh. First is forgetting what Jesus has done. Second is focusing on the world. And third is following the flesh. The third big way that causes people to drift away from God is because they start living after their own desires. They get caught up in their emotions and they follow how they feel. Man, this feels good. I'm gonna go after that. This is what I need, and so I'm gonna strive after that. Or they get involved in sin. Rather than following after just what they feel, because God gave us our emotions, it's okay to have feelings. But the other side of it is following after sin. We get involved in something we know we shouldn't be involved in. And yet because we're involved in that, we can't let go of it. And we get stuck doing that. And we lose sight of our relationship with God. And we drift away from Him. Because do you know what the enemy wants to tell you once you get involved in sin? That because you're involved in sin, you have no right to have a relationship with God. God doesn't love you. How could you be involved in that? You can't go to church this morning. Remember what you did last night? You can't show up to church. And what happens is we get focused on our sin. We forget what Jesus has done. We're involved in sin. And because of it, they're ignoring the voice of God. They're listening to their sin. And they drift away from their relationship with God. And when we get involved in sin, it causes us to drift away from God. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this: "But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Now let me tell you something. Being tempted is not a sin. If you are tempted to do something wrong, you have that desire inside of you, that is not wrong. That's a reality. We all have temptation. But what he says is when we have that temptation, we're then drawn away by our desires and enticed. And then he says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. He says it's a slow drift. He says you have a desire. That desire in and of itself is not wrong. But when you have that desire, you are then enticed by that desire. Then when the desire has conceived, in other words, when it's locked you in, you can't get your focus off anything else but that desire. That feeling, you've got to be here, you've got to have that, you've got to look at that, you've got to touch that, whatever it might be. You have that desire, it entices you. Then when the desire has conceived, when you're locked into it, then it gives birth to sin. The desire is not wrong. Once you act on it, then it's wrong. It gives birth to sin. And then he tells you where you're going. When that is your drift, when you're drifting away from sin because of sin, he says it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it brings forth death. When sin takes over your life, he's not talking about physical death. We all will physically die. But sin, when it takes over your life, it brings forth spiritual death, separation from God. You've drifted away from your relationship with God because you've got involved, you're focused, you're following your sin. And when our focus is off, we get involved in sin and drift away. So the author, he says, be careful lest you drift away. And he encourages us to pay attention to what we have heard so we don't drift away. The idea of earnest heed that he says in verse 1 is to get serious and to turn our attention back to something. In other words, he's saying, quit messing around. Quit following your feelings. Quit forgetting about what Jesus has done. Quit focusing on the world. He says, get serious and go back to the thing that matters. I'm going to get serious about the things of God and get back to the things that He wants me to do. And when we do that and we keep our eye on the things that we're supposed to, we won't drift away in our relationship with God. So we got to examine the things in our life. How are we doing on that? Let's examine ourselves right now. How are we doing that? Are we drifting away? Can you look at your life and say, okay, in the last month or 6 months or year, I have watched myself drift away, or I can see myself beginning to drift. The things in my life, my attention is off, my focus is off, I'm following after the wrong things, and I can see that if I keep following this path, I will drift away. So what does he tell us to do? Well, let's do the opposite. Let's remember what Jesus has done. Let's focus on eternity, not the world. Let's follow after Jesus, not the flesh. And when we do those things, we'll be able to align. It's not going to take a lot for you to get back to where God wants you to be. It's a simple turn. Say, do you not forget that? I'm going to follow after Jesus. We need to make sure that we pay attention to the things that matter so we don't drift away. Second point. You still with me? Don't neglect what is necessary. Don't neglect what is necessary. Look at verse 2. Back in our text, it says, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" In other words, what he's saying is, if the Old Testament law was taken seriously by people, how much more should the new covenant through Jesus be received? That's what he's saying. When he brings up these angels in verse 2, he says, "For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast," that is a reference to Moses receiving the law from God through the angels on Mount Sinai. He says, if that law that was received, in other words, proved steadfast, like if it was a good thing, and people followed after that, and the disobedience received a just reward, like if you disobeyed the law of God, there was consequences to it. He says, how much more will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says, if the law given to us by Moses and the angels was important, how much more should the new covenant through Jesus, the Son of God, who is equal with God in every way, be important? He says, because of that, he says, don't neglect what you have. Now, the author here isn't talking directly about non-believers when he says neglect salvation. He isn't speaking of rejecting salvation in the sense of like, I don't really want to be a Jesus follower. Like, I've got my own thing. I'm going my own way. I've got this. I don't want to believe in Jesus. He's not talking about rejecting salvation. Although, you could definitely apply that here. Don't reject salvation. Jesus is better. Don't miss out on what he has for you. You could absolutely apply it there. But the idea here is directed more to the Christian and warning not to neglect what they've been given. The word neglect means to be careless of. It's to not recognize the value of what you have. You have something valuable, so don't lose it. It's like the idea of like you found something, but you're not exactly sure what it is, so you just get rid of it, only to find out later that it was like really, really important or worth a lot of money, and you are an idiot for throwing it away. That's kind of the idea. Don't neglect. Don't be careless of what you have. And this is a problem with so much of American Christianity. We have access to so much Christianity that we have no relationship with God for ourselves. It's easy for us to get to church. It's easy for us to get the Bible app. It's easy for us to listen to a podcast. It's easier for us to follow like a Christian inspirational page on Instagram so we're getting the hype for Jesus. Like, we have so much access to Christianity, but then because of that access, we don't have our own faith. Because of that access, we don't pray for ourselves. Because of that access, we don't worship for ourselves. We see other people do it. Maybe we're around it, but it isn't our own. We have to make sure that we don't neglect the salvation we have. In other words, we need to do the things that grow our relationship with God. Don't neglect what you have. If you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, you have received that great salvation. Don't neglect it. Don't be careless of it. Like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but that doesn't really carry a lot of weight with me. I just live however I want to live because whatever, everybody's a Christian. No. He says, don't neglect what you have. It is a high calling to be a Jesus follower. Don't neglect the salvation that you have. Do what is necessary for you to grow as a Jesus follower. Don't neglect it. And that's speaking personally. But there's a second part of this. Not only is he speaking personally, don't neglect the salvation you have, but we also need to make sure we don't neglect it for other people. Look what he says in the second half of verse 3. He says, don't neglect so great a salvation, he says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. In other words, he says the gospel started by Jesus preaching it. Jesus was the first one. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. He was the first one. And then he went to the cross, and he died for our sins, and then he rose again, and he went to his disciples. He says, listen, what you just saw, my life, that is the good news. And then he says, go into all the world and tell everybody you possibly can. And from there, Jesus ascended into heaven, and like we sang tonight, or this morning, the idea of broken vessels, where God has given us broken vessels, the message of heaven. He's saying, you go and tell people about me. So there was this transition that happened where it went from Jesus telling people about himself to now us telling people about him. And the author of this letter says that that's how he received it. Look at it again. He says, at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it. He wasn't a first generation Christian that heard Jesus speak the gospel. The author of this letter, who remember we talked about last week, we don't know who it is. All these people have different theories about it. We have no idea, but what we do know is that somebody that heard the message from Jesus told him the message of Jesus. That somebody received it, and they're like, oh my gosh, the grace of God is that good. I'm going to go tell somebody about it. And he went out and told somebody, and the author of this letter heard it from somebody else. And what this means is that because he heard it, he has a desire to tell other people as well. And the same is true for us. We need to not neglect the salvation we've received, first personally, but also don't neglect in the sense we need to go out and tell other people about it. The only reason we're able to know God is because someone told us about him. Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your friend, whatever the case, the only reason we know God is because somebody told us about it. And so we need to make sure that we carry on that message. We need to not neglect the message of Jesus and pass it on to others. It's been said that the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is always one generation away from extinction. That the gospel, Christianity, as we know it, is always one generation away from extinction. Because as soon as one generation says, it's not that important. They don't understand the value of what they have. They don't spread it. They don't tell other people. It's going to die out. You guys could very well be the last generation of Christianity if you don't rise up and tell somebody about it. We need to not neglect what is necessary. Neglect it for our own life, but also tell other people about it. So he says, how can we neglect so great a salvation? We need to not avoid or neglect what we have been given. But it isn't just up to us. Last point. You with me still? All right. Salvation is always confirmed with the supernatural. Salvation is always confirmed with the supernatural. Let's look at verse 4. And we'll be done. God, also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. In other words, we do the work, but when we do the work, God will bring the wonder. When we do the work, God will bring the wonder. When we put in the work of not neglecting salvation and making sure that for our own selves we're not drifting away, God will back it with what he says, signs and wonders and gifts from the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not see signs and wonders like we think of them. Like we may not see like dead people getting back up. We may not see like blind being able to see. We may not see that. You may go your whole life and never see some radical miracle happen on earth. Now, that isn't to say that God can't do that or won't do that. You may go your life and see God do those things. You may see somebody receive sight that have been blind their whole life. We don't know. Jesus says nothing is impossible with a little bit of faith. So who knows? God could absolutely use you or somebody around you to do something supernatural in that sense. But the supernatural isn't limited to things like that. The supernatural happens all the time. Do you know it is supernatural for someone to be one way for their whole life and then have an encounter with Jesus and then behave totally different? That's supernatural. It is supernatural for us to be dead in sin and Jesus to raise us up spiritually back to life. That is absolutely supernatural. It is supernatural for God to give us a desire to live pleasing to Him. Because do you know what's natural? Is to live after the flesh. It's natural to follow our feelings. Why? Because you can feel them. That's easy. It's easy to follow after that. It's easy to want to do what everybody else is doing. Why? Because everybody else is doing it. It is supernatural for us to have a desire to say, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be locked down to that. I don't want to be stuck in that. I want to live as God wants me to live. That's supernatural. That's not normal. And so when God is doing something, when there is a work of God happening, there will be supernatural signs that follow. What are the supernatural signs we should look for? People's lives being changed. God giving new desires to people that have been doing the same old thing for their whole life. That is supernatural. And so when we are following after Jesus and we are focused on the right things and we're not drifting away and we're making sure that we're not neglecting salvation for ourselves, but also not neglecting salvation for other people, what we should see as a result is lives being changed. It's supernatural. He says, okay, don't neglect it. Don't forget about it. He says, because we received it through the preaching of it, and backed with the preaching of it were signs and wonders and spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And the same is true for us today. How do we know? How should we see God working? Well, you'll see supernatural backing. It's not up to you to tell every single person about Jesus. It's up to you to not drift away. It's up to you to not neglect it, and then recognize that God will back you up with the supernatural. We put in the work, but God brings the wonder. God brings the supernatural, we bring the natural. We do what we can, and we expect God to do what we can't. And when we live like that, when we're focused on the things of God, we're living as He wants us to live, we're going to see God do the supernatural. And in this text, the author gives us essential principles to continue to walk with God and our role as Christians. And there are three simple things. Be careful not to drift away. I think this is the most important thing that I could stress to you guys. Don't drift away. It's so easy. I can't tell you how many people I have seen get a boyfriend or girlfriend and stop going to church. One relationship, drift away. I can't tell you how many people, they get so focused on whatever it is in front of them. Whether it's, I got to get into that school. And it's like, okay, you got into school. Where's your relationship with Jesus? So many people that they get caught up in some idea, some thought process, some relationship, some feeling, whatever it is. And here was the target, and they got a little off, and they ended up in somewhere. Why are you even there? What got you there? It's one little thing that caused them to drift away. My encouragement, my plea with you is don't drift away. Pay attention to the things that matter so you don't drift away. And secondly, don't neglect what God has given to you. God has given you first for yourself the gift of salvation. You should thank God every day that you have met Jesus. Whether it's because you were raised in a Christian home, you should go, thank you, God, that my parents met Jesus, so I am a byproduct of their faith, so I can have a relationship with you. Or not, maybe you were here because somebody invited you, or whatever the case, say, thank you, God, that somebody had enough boldness to invite me or to tell me about Jesus, that I might have a relationship with you. Don't neglect what you've been given. And because of that, it should cause you to want to go out and tell people about Him. And third, do the work so we can see the supernatural. You want to see lives change. You want to see desires be rebirthed, God giving people new hearts, new desires, new lives. We should want to see that desire. We do the work, God brings the wonder. And this should be a desire because Jesus is better than anything else. And we sing glory.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you and your relationship with Christ. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Nate, check him out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow him on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.